Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark, and is it hot enough for you?
Yeah, it's pretty warm down here, but I'm not standing out in the sun either, so I'm sure it's around 100, but, you know, that's what you expect in Phoenix in the summer. But, you know, you can jump in the swimming pool, or you can jump in the car, and 2 hours you're up at 7,000 feet and get out of the heat. So this is life in Arizona.
Mark, do you have a special offer for our listeners?
I do, because I particularly want to talk about the VR blockchain letter this week because of what's going on in the crypto world, which suddenly came back to life in a big way. So let's give them the 50% off, and that's a promo code 2022 half off 2022 HALFOFF, and you go to VRTrader.com. And I hope you look at the VR crypto blockchain letter, but if any other letter appeals to you, that's the promo code you put in and you get 50% off. And I also want to mention that I've been publishing for almost 44 years, but I am not a financial advisor, nor do I officially provide financial advice. I'm a newsletter publisher.
So what is happening in the crypto world that has caught your interest?
Well, today in particular, Ripple, which is the, I guess, parent company of the XRP crypto currency, just succeeded partially in a legal action where, you know, the SEC was trying to shut them down. And, you know, essentially what happened was the government was saying, well, you guys, you know, sold or raised capital illegally, violating security laws and so forth. And, you know, on and on and on. And, you know, the court came back and said, well, maybe you did that for some of the institutional pre-sales, you know, to hedge funds and so forth. But when an individual investor, you know, wants to trade or buy and sell in the secondary market a cryptocurrency like XRP, that's fine. That's legal. And XRP, which was trading around, oh, about 40 cents, ran up to about 90 cents immediately. Can't even get into the platforms to buy it because there's so much activity. Coinbase, which is the big public company, which is the big platform that most, not most, but I guess the majority of people use because it's so accessible, ran up about 30% today. I think it got to, I'm trying to check the exact price of it. You know, it was it's over $100 a share. But, you know, it had been down and depressed for a while. Yeah, it got to 108 today, and yesterday was in the 80s. So, you know, a lot of action in that. Ethereum took off. As we know, Bitcoin has been acting well. That had a pretty good day today as well. You know, it just exploded. It's like the action is back. Of course, it's been coming back. For the last few weeks, Bitcoin, we've talked about on the broadcast for a while, has rallied, you know, well over 30,000 a coin, where it was down at 15,000. And then the other big story is Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, had made the news this past week because he's trying to get an ETF approved by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And I guess the word got out, you know, since he's such a major force. I think BlackRock's the biggest fund in the world, or at least in this part of the world, with several trillion under assets. So, you know, he carries a lot of weight, and I guess the assumption is there will be an approval for that. remember what happened with gold, the gold ETF, GLD, that the World Economic Group tried to get, World Gold Council, I'm sorry, I don't want to mix up Klaus Schwab with this by any stretch, but the World Gold Forum, you know, they have appealed and got an ETF for GLD decades ago, and you look what, you know, gold took off after that because it, you know, creates a synthetic way of buying gold and supports the price of gold. So the same thing would happen with Bitcoin, particularly if this ETF does get approved and Larry Fink and BlackRock is successful. So there's so much going on in this little world that, you know, many had thought was dead or too speculative. But, you know, the court is now on the side of, federal court on the side of Ripple and the XRP crypto. And, you know, this is one that we had mentioned and shown in our block, VR blockchain crypto letter, you know, for months, you know, putting charts up of it, just showing this thing as a, something you should be taking a look at. And along with Ethereum and along with, you know, the big Bitcoin itself. Of course, there's hundreds or thousands of coins out there, and you just can't follow all of them. But, you know, the action certainly in these big ones. And there's also the thought that, you know, XRP could become a standard bearer, you know, so to speak. You know, the possibility that this could be used, you know, for, you know, a digital currency and maybe chosen to move money, you know, on the part of governments or, you know, other institutions, that it could become, you know, more than just a little trading, you know, crypto. So it could become, you know, one of the chosen ones that the central banks chose to use or the governments choose to use. And a lot of research has gone into this, the way it's designed and the technology behind it is such that they would be amenable to that, scalable, and has other, you know, pluses that I'm, you know, I'm not a tech person that I can explain to you on this interview. I have to get a tech person involved, but there's, you know, a lot to the XRP. So that one was the big story on the news today because of Ripple and their lawsuit with the government. So, yeah, that's the exciting story. If you were an XRP today, you doubled your money in one day on that cryptocurrency, and you know, potential could be you know, a lot more, and you know, a lot more for the whole sector. So you know, this is good news if you know, if you're in that market, you know. And this is, you know, not related, well, I guess it's sort of related, but it's not really related to world economies or what the Federal Reserve is doing, or, you know, whether we're at war or not with Russia. I mean, you know, you can tie this to that. You know, there's a lot of reasons why crypto was created, to avoid, you know, government involvement and so forth, and to have a currency outside of the standard system. So I guess, you know, a lot of these other variables, you know, can impact it, but I think, you know, more favorably than not, because it's sort of outside the system, and, you know, there's a lot of threats of the government banning the use of cash, and that's why they want to create a digital currency, and that's why people have moved to, you know, hard assets, or have proposed using, you know, that as an alternative, you know, get your cash out of the cash and getting it into crypto or getting into gold or getting it into real estate or doing other things, just in case the government gets awfully aggressive and says, hey, it's illegal, you can't have cash anymore. And, you know, like the article, I think we discussed this last week, is what if that actually happened, you know, will there be a black market for cash? And I'm sure there will be, because no one really wants to give up their cash, just like they don't want to give up their gold. So, you know, interesting times, but, you know, pay attention to what's happening here. And we do have the blockchain letter that covers that every week.
Yeah, and when you say black market for cash, I saw an article where Pokemon cards have become the underground currency for the mob. There's no limit on how many Pokemon cards I can ship into London or into Tokyo or out of Beijing. The cards have a known value. There, and so the mob is now using them as currency.
Right. Well, you know, maybe baseball cards would be a good alternative too, right?
Yeah. Well, there's more Pokemon cards out there to trade than there are Willie Mays or
right.
Or Hank Aaron cards.
Right. But the whole idea is, you know, we're looking to get away. You know, we're trying to protect ourselves from a government that keeps intruding into our lives. You know, it's bad enough we have the taxes and Remember, when police here in the U.S., when they instituted taxes at taxation, it's supposed to be a very minimal amount that really wasn't going to affect everyone. And once the law was passed, the government took over, and now they try to take whatever they can from you. So now they want, they want to take away state tax exemptions. They want to increase taxes. They want to take part of your retirement accounts now. There's all these rumors around whatever they can do to get their greasy fingers on your money. So, Pokemon cards, cryptocurrency, gold, whatever. There's a reason why these exist, you know?
Well, yeah, I always find it interesting how presidents and prime ministers have no problem handing over billions of dollars to who normally you and I would describe as foreign strangers. Do you really know the guy? Do you trust him with the money? I don't know. Is it frustrating when that happens, when you think your tax? Most people, by the way, say they don't mind paying taxes, but they want it used for real things, sewer, water, schools, hospitals, that kind of stuff.
Right, right. So here we are, trying to deal with that situation, and investors are trying to deal with it, and that's what makes markets. There's always, what's that expression? Jim Cramer uses it. I hate to give him the credit for it, but he's said it for so long, you might as well give him the attribution. What's the expression? If there's a bull market somewhere, we'll find it for you. I mean, it just is an example today with the cryptos and the XRP and so there's always something somewhere, where, money finds a place that it's comfortable. And, this is part and parcel why we see these changes.
I recall a little over a year ago, Jim Cramer yelling at us, telling us that FXP was the best investment you could make in your life. You'd be a fool not to pour all your cash into it. And now they've gone under and there's criminal charges involved. And he's now saying, oh, well, why would you trust them? Why would you trust him?
Well, we get into a whole other discussion about, putting yourself in that position. He reminds me, in a complimentary way, of, Joe Granville, who I admired way back in the 1970s and 1980s, who's, basically an entertainer and a market commentator. And he sort of set the standard that if you could entertain and inform at the same time, and Granville did that. If you ever went to any of his presentations or watched him, certainly Jim Cramer does the same thing. So that's part of the game, entertain and inform.
Well, they're entertainers, but for me, being an actual journalist, I say it's the same as taking financial advice from Bozo the Clown. He's pretty entertaining. Does he know what he's talking about?
Well, let's not go any further than that. Okay, I appreciate that one.
Mark, you're the opposite of Bozo the Clown, by the way.
Oh, you're making me feel good. Thank you.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's the story with Disney? Are they a Mickey Mouse organization?
Well, they may be. It's all over the tape again today. Yeah. Bob Iger, who was there for several years, left. They brought, I guess the term bozo is a good description of whoever was in there for a couple of years, because they made a mess of the company and the stock. They got involved in woke politics, and the stock dropped, from over $200 a share to about $80 a share. And, then they got rid of that guy, and they brought Bob Iger back. And they just, apparently it's all over actually, as I'm talking to you, it's all over CNBC on the screen, the story, which reminded me that it's something we should be talking about. It's a widely held stock, and, it's a blue chip, part of the Dow Industrials and so forth. And I'm a big admirer of Walt himself. But the long and short of it is they made a mess of the company, and all kinds of stuff, from streaming of the business to ESPN. And, Walt made his money in the movies and in the parks. And, that's what they were great at doing. And then they got involved in all this other kind of stuff. They spread their parks all over the world. And now they got even Iger is saying, who came in, we got to get real about this business. They may have to sell off assets. They may have to get rid of a lot of stuff. Hopefully they get rid of all the woke people out there. You know, they change the rides because they think it's going to be insensitive to certain people. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the story this summer you probably read, you know, it's like one of the worst attendance in their theme parks, at least the ones here in the U.S. in the longest time. People, it's too expensive to get in. They don't want to deal with the woke nonsense. I guess the cost of travel, whatever, the economy. But, you know, I mean, though many people are traveling. So right now it's an interesting story. You know, will he sell off assets? What will he do to turn this thing around and make it a profitable company? Because they start losing some money, and I think there's an expression. I keep talking about the woke aspect of it, but there was actually a list that went out in recent months about go woke and you go broke, and they listed a whole bunch of public companies that dropped significantly, like Disney, when they went in that direction. So hopefully he's going to go that way and clean it up. And there's a lot of financial stuff and juggling they're going to have to do over there. But it's an interesting story, and it's been making the headlines for a while. And the question is, when will he be, is it cheap enough at this level? Or are there more problems that are going to surface, and there's going to be a better buy at lower prices? I guess that's the big question among investors, and, you know, it's probably one of the most widely held institutional stocks. So the big headline today is Disney's reality check, you know, streamlining the company, raising prices, cutting programming, doing what they need to do there. So just keep an eye on it, something to watch.
Now, is it Disney that owns the world's biggest cruise ship now, that monster that has 7,600 passengers and over 2,500 crew? Is that a Disney ship?
I couldn't tell you, Jim. I know they have their ships. I couldn't tell you if it's the biggest or not. That's a good question. Is being in the cruise line business profitable for them? I don't know. I mean, you know, the cruise stocks have been coming back recently, and they say bookings are high, so maybe that is a big profit center for them, maybe not. You know, when you think about it, you know, Disney got their hands into everything, you know, and maybe being into hotels and cruise ships and things away from the parks and the movies is what did them in, too. You know, too much diversification can, you know, spread yourself too thin. You know, do what you're good at. Do it what made you the money. You know, go back to the basics. And I think that's hopefully what Bob Iger does now.
Well, going on to other things, the U.S. dollar has dropped radically over the last few days. What's the story there?
Oh, we're happy about that because crude oil rallied, gold took off a little bit, silver stocks started to rally, the commodity markets, you know, we have many of those names on our watch list here at the newsletter, you know, the wheat and the corn and all that cool stuff. Since they're inversely priced to the dollar, they all rallied. So, you know, those are all investment trading vehicles that did well in this weak dollar environment. And the question is it just a big shakeout, or is it going to continue for a while? That's really the head-scratching question here, because it had been up for the longest time and then started to break here. And in the last, you know, month or so, it got into a little toppy pattern and start to accelerate here to the downside in the last, week to 10 days, 2 weeks, actually. So it's, in my view is, you got to just follow the trend and, you know, you react accordingly. It just seemed to me, you know, on a political basis, there's this notion that when U.S. Democrats are in power, the dollar tends to be, the dollar seems to rally. And when Republicans are in, it seems to come down. So I don't know if the trend's going to resume to the downside or not, but that might imply a regime change of some sort here in the U.S. So it's, a lot of it has to do with what the Fed's doing, what the economy is doing, you know, supply and demand around the world. There's talk now that there's going to be this big meeting in August in Europe. I don't have all the details in front of me. We have them in our newsletter, that another alternate currency is going to be proposed. I think August 21st is the magical date. There are all these articles about it, and you know, it's possibly backed by gold, and it could be a challenge to the U.S. dollar. And the question is, how much of a challenge would it be if it is created several nations getting together? And I think Russia is part of the group, and Saudi Arabia, and so forth. So that's a talk that's coming up this summer. So maybe that, you know, one of the reasons the dollar started to sell off here is anticipation of this multi-country move to create an alternate, you know, currency that everybody's happy with, since they seem to be dissatisfied with the dollar for a number of, you know, number of reasons. You know, most of us being political, I'm sure. But so, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, you know, affecting it. The Canadian dollar did a little bit better because it's commodity based, and we sort of like that. And you know, I'm sort of commodity oriented anyway, and you know, gold and physical asset oriented, because I don't trust the governments. And we talked earlier in this interview about all the reasons why crypto has been popular and so forth. So you know, a weak dollar is okay with me, and you know, that supports commodity prices. And I think overall we're looking at a big commodity boom in the years ahead anyway, because of the shortages that have existed, and, you know, shortages in crops, and a lot of the green movement, which is sort of anti-agriculture and anti-oil and all the things that we really need to survive. So that's going to put a big, you know, price tag on a lot of these very important basics out there. And so it makes me, you know, very pro-commodity. Now, whether that means the dollar will be weak during that entire time, that I can't say, but at the moment, that's certainly helping the prices.
We are talking cruise ships. The biggest cruise ship in the world will be Royal Caribbean's Icon of the Seas. That will carry nearly 10,000 people if you include the crew. 20 decks.
Yeah. Is that out? That's in. On
that
the
it will be sailing next year.
Okay.
That's the biggest. Spend your entire holiday lining up for things. You got 7,600 other passengers to compete with.
That's a little too crowded for me.
There's no way in the world you could successfully evacuate a ship that big. 7,600 people, some are going to be physically disabled, some are going to be children, there's going to be panic. When Costa Concordia rolled over due to captain negligence, it killed 33 people. So it would have been a much smaller ship than this one. Can you imagine trying to evacuate 10,000 people?
Don't even want to think about it. So it's crazy to be on a ship that big. I'd rather have a smaller ship, something more with more, you know, privacy and, you know.
I want something I can steer. I'm a sailor. I like being in control.
Let's do it. Yeah, I feel safer with you.
Now, Mark, on the geocosmic front, apparently solar flares are going to be strong enough that you folks in Arizona are going to see the Northern Lights.
Okay. That's I didn't see that story. I have to pull up my spaceweather.com website to see if the update that we were going to post tonight. Is that what you're showing? Let me see what comes up here. Let's see here. Wow. Well, they said there's big far side sunspots.
Yeah.
And there's a big geomagnetic storm watch for the 15th. So, yeah, you're right. On the 15th, it's supposed to be a CME event, and it's supposed to hit the Earth's magnetic field. So we'll see how powerful that is. But apparently having some big far side sunspots is getting the space weather people excited here. So you're hearing that it's going to be really, really powerful, and it could create auroras pretty far south. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, that's according to KTLA News, yeah, in Los Angeles.
Okay, well, that'll be it.
I watch, you know, because of cable TV, I watch the news from New York, Chicago, and L.A.
Okay. So here we are, it's coming on the 15th, so it's we're talking this weekend.
And, of course, on KTLA, they'll be talking about how solar flares influence Hollywood and fashion.
Okay.
That's their biggest thing. What's the hottest sushi place, and what do you wear to go there? Mark, anything else we should be keeping an eye on right now?
Well, we're still in this summer rally phenomenon now. I know people will listen to this broadcast are interested in the overall markets, you know, and my model is pretty indicative of a top, you know, that's due here in the summer, ideally in July, and we'll see if that unfolds or not. We don't seem to be getting strong confirmation of that at all here. You know, it's like I'm afraid I missed the move, and I want to jump in attitude. So, you know, that seems to be happening. You know, a lot of the high, some of the high flyers, though, are losing a little momentum. Apple Computer, for example, is not going anywhere at the moment. And, you know, we saw a little retracement in Tesla and some of the other big names of the Magic 7 that seem to run the market up. But at the same time, we're getting some of the smaller cap stocks, like the Russell 2000 stocks, upticking here a little bit. So, you know, the mentality out there is that things are fixed. Jobs are good. The Fed is going to be raising rates, but it's going to slow or stop. And the economy is strong, and there's no reason not to be in the stock market, and everything is fine. You know, I would argue that, you know, as we've seen in many other little bubbles in the past, out of the blue, you know, an outlier event hits. You and I could speculate all day what that might be, and suddenly the mentality changes. So at the moment, I think, you know, enjoy the rally, but, you know, have your finger on the sell button, because there could be a pretty nasty sell-off into the fall, which would be traditional anyway. And if I'm wrong, you know, you can hold a bunch of treasury bills in the meantime.
Mark, always a pleasure chatting with you.
My pleasure, too. Thanks, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HouseStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HouseStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HouseStreet.com radio is a production of HouseStreet Media Incorporated.